Good afternoon, everyone. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10 o'clock on Wednesday, May 4th of 2022. I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are Commissioners Randy Christman and Sherry Haugen-Hoffert, so we have a quorum. Just a couple opening comments from myself. This is probably the first meeting with our newest staff member, Rob Frank. Welcome, Rob. We're excited to have him. He comes to us from Basin Electric. He has degrees in economics, and so he's our newest member of our Public Utilities Division team and is going to do great work for us and for the citizens of the state in helping to evaluate the utilities rate increase requests, their integrated resource plans, working on MISO and SPP and FERC and all the very complicated technical issues that we have to get involved in and need folks who can really think this stuff through. And we're really glad to have Rob. He comes to us with a ton of experience already, so he's going to hit the ground running. And so we're thrilled to have him on his team. Thank you, Rob, for joining us. We look forward to your service here. Secondly, I just got back from a trip to Canada. I regretted missing all the exciting events on Monday out at Coal Creek, so I want to talk just briefly about that and about my trip to Canada a bit. So first, I guess I'll talk about Canada. So I was... attended the Canadian equivalent of Nehru, so it's called CAMPUT, and it's their National Utility Regulatory Conference for all of the provincial regulators and other federal regulators in the Canadian side. And it was a really, really quick trip. I was only there from Sunday till last night, and a lot of that time was spent traveling, but I did have a full day there on Monday and was very interested in some of the sessions, particularly one where they scheduled it, structured it as a debate, and each of the various panel members had to take a position. And one of them was pro-renewables, one of them was pro-energy efficiency, and one of them was pro-fossil fuels. And so it was really interesting to hear everybody's argument on why each of those was the solution to the challenges that we're all facing. And it was interesting to me that in the end they did a poll of the audience on who they felt, which of the solutions was the right one. And carbon capture and storage won by about 10% of the people polled. So I was really kind of impressed with, A, the arguments made by the guy who was making arguments on that behalf, and the audience's, how it resonated with the audience. So I thought that was interesting and kind of fed into where my thoughts were that day with the Coal Creek announcement and that facility's pursuit of carbon capture and storage. I think they are uniquely positioned, and this is one of the things I want to talk about today because it hasn't gotten a lot of attention in the press. But carbon capture and storage is not, quote unquote, or it gets a lot of grief because it's expensive. And it is still expensive. It is new technology, much like a lot of the renewable technology that's been developing over time. And the battery technology that we know is still extremely expensive. And the new transmission technology that we all know is extremely expensive. So I think it's important to distinguish that all of these new technologies are unproven in the way that they're being used today and proposed to be used. And and carbon capture and storage is no different in that regard. And it is expensive, but just like these other technologies, the price of it will come down as it's used more and perfected and done to scale. And so I think it's really important that we continue to talk about it, support its development, along with these other technologies, and not dismiss it offhand as being too expensive. You know, we hear very few comments or numbers about the total cost of the alternative plan, which is rebuilding the current grid by 3 to 5 times or more, 10 times perhaps over, in order to reach the same amount of capacity, build the transmission lines to support all of that, buy the batteries to support all of that. And then all of that doesn't even factor in the carbon footprint of developing the resources internationally to make the renewable components and transfer those and ship them across the globe. So there's a lot that isn't being calculated in today's current plans. And I think that it's incumbent on regulators like us to call that to everybody's attention and to insist that those things are calculated so that we're A, doing what we want to do, which is reduce emissions, and B, doing it on a scale that is affordable and maintains the reliability. And so those are really important endeavors, and we have to do that. And the Coal Creek project is really exciting because Rainbow Energy is uniquely positioned as an independent owner to pursue that technology in a way that GRE was not, and in a way that any of the investor-owned utilities really aren't right now either. They can pursue it and bake it into their rates with less regulatory hassles than any investor-owned utility would. They'd have to come and justify the cost, and we'd have to scrutinize that based on other comparable technologies. I'm not saying that we wouldn't agree with it or support it. We haven't seen that yet, but I just think it's exciting that a company that isn't beholden to those kinds of rate reviews will be able to pursue this in a way that allows them to recapture their costs straight from the market. So I look forward to watching that project. I think I've had many conversations with Stacy Chider. I believe he's intent on pursuing the carbon capture and storage process and has big plans for that facility. And it's really, I want to just throw in my 2 cents for how exciting it is to have that project complete and online. And also, again, emphasize how important it is to keep that 1,100 megawatt generating facility that's dispatchable online and in the mix in the MISO region, because that's we're seeing increasing concerns coming from MISO planners on the speed at which coal units are being retired and the growing tightness of their capacity, and it's shrinking, and there is growing concerns that it's shrinking too fast. And so we need most certainly would be worse off if that 1,100 megawatt unit had retired when GRE had planned on its retirement. So those two things. And then finally, in Canada, one of the exciting introductions I made was with the CEO of NERC. And I don't know, Mandy, maybe you've met him before. At some SPP things. I hadn't met him. We had his predecessor, Jerry Cawley, participate in one of our earliest reliability discussions when we first started here. And we haven't had NERC back out, but he has met Governor Burgum, and Governor Burgum had made the invitation to come to North Dakota. I repeated that invitation and suggested that we probably try to get him out here during the next legislative session, maybe for some sort of a session with the Energy Committee or something like that. And he said he's done that in other states and would welcome that opportunity. So look forward to kind of keeping that in the back of our minds and working to getting the head of NERC, which is the North American Energy Reliability Council. He is responsible for setting all the reliability standards for all of the U.S. and Canada and Mexico to the extent that they're connected to our grids. And so he has his finger on the pulse of the reliability issues and also cybersecurity issues as it relates to reliability too. So I think it'd be great to have him here, and he's eager to come. So with that, that's the end of my opening comments. Commissioner Christman.
Well, mine will be a little bit lengthy too, because there's a couple of things I want to talk about, and I'll start off with one that you talked about regarding the Coal Creek situation. And yeah, I get frustrated by that comment about, well, that carbon capture is going to be pretty expensive. Well, yeah, you know, the first airplane was pretty expensive when you consider it only hauled one or two passengers a few hundred feet. The first cell phone was pretty expensive when you think of what it was capable of compared to what we have now. The first anything, and this will be the first really significant size commercial scale program. So, yeah, it's going to be expensive, but then they're going to come down in price and solve a lot of problems. But what I wanted to talk about in regard to Coal Creek was, I felt like it was unfortunate for some of the people that do the heavy lifting in this agency that our finalization of the reclamation bonding ended up getting delayed until the same day as their celebration, and that really overshadowed what our staff had done. Rainbow, being used to a non-regulated world, kind of when they were first getting into this potential program, I think came in with some ideas for ways that they could guarantee Falkirk's reclamation that were kind of far-fetched, to be honest. And our staff and us had to kind of rein them in and come to the realization that it's not just a matter of someone saying, yeah, I guarantee it. There are not only North Dakota laws and rules, but we have to meet OSM standards. And they worked through it and worked with banks and learned the process. It took a long time, but our staff is so diligent, and this is a big deal. Over $100 million in financial guarantees that can't be taken lightly, whether it's Rainbow that's backing it up, whether it's Falkirk, part of North American Coal, that's doing it. We owe it to the citizens of North Dakota to make sure that there is someone more than those operators guaranteeing this work. That is the point of the bonding. And so we did that all the way up to and including putting it off until the last day, until they had their final paperwork done on the closing. And then actually having something turned in that had an error on it and having to say no, and knowing that the fact might be that maybe they get up there and they have to say it's almost complete. But they were able to get the original copy of the corrected document to us in time, and so it was all complete by the time everybody got up there. But it is so important because that mine consists of almost 52,000 acres of some of North Dakota's most productive and beautiful land up there along the Missouri River. And I think everyone here was glad to work with Falkirk and Rainbow to assure that the continued operation of the Coal Creek Station and quality reclamation of the land go hand in hand. Our whole staff ended up with a lot of heavy lifting because when some of them are involved in this kind of thing, the others have more responsibility with other things. But I want to highlight four of them specifically. Zana Brinkman, the director, Jonathan Emmer, the assistant director, Matt Fisher, who's learning the process and doing a lot of the bonding work, and then John Shue, our attorney. They have spent so many hours on this, making sure everything is right, and I am confident that it is. And so hats off to them, but really the whole reclamation, as well as the administrative team here at the PSC, it was a monumental effort in order to allow this to happen. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is not as happy of a note, but last week, and continuing on probably forever, a lot of us are mourning the loss of David Kretes, who I think is probably the the longest standing government relations person in North Dakota. He began at North Dakota Association of Telephone Cooperatives in the 80s. While I was on the board, we changed it to Association of Telecommunications instead of Telephone Cooperatives. And in more recent years, it became the Broadband Association of North Dakota. But he did such a tremendous job. He's been going through terrible health difficulties. But actually, I look back on April 1st, he texted me about someone, there's something on our docket about, you know, one of these firms that, they file a lot of applications for ETC status and just like to show a broad coverage on a U.S. map and then don't ever come here. And he just was confirming if I'm aware of anything that they're really planning or if this is just another ETC status. So even in April, from bed, he was keeping up with what we were doing here. But besides the work and the tremendous, because nobody, we talk about the digital divide and for rural America, nobody has better connectivity than North Dakota, and we're almost as rural as any state gets. And a lot of that has to do with his leadership of that association and those companies. Mm-hmm. But I just want to highlight an example of the person, because I think anybody that's worked with David for any amount of time, you kind of think that for some reason or another, you're his best friend. But then over at the memorial service, it really made me realize how much we all thought that, because it's just how he treated people. So I want to give you one example. I don't remember which session it was, probably about 15 years ago. On the way back in on a Sunday night, the transmission went out on my pickup on the hill by the Seven Seas. So Bob Stengel came and pulled me to a transmission shop, dropped me off at the hotel, and the next day I was just kind of whining to David. I mean, I had rides. We all the legislators go to the same receptions at night, same hotels. You know, I didn't need anything. I was whining about the cost of the transmission. And he offered me a car, and I told him, I don't need one. We all go to the same places. Everything is fine. That day, my mother took ill and became hospitalized down here in Bismarck. I don't know how David realized, I suppose through the West River group or something, but I came back from committee, and on my desk, I set a car keys and a description of the car that he had dropped off in the parking lot, where it was parked, and said, you know, you'll be needing to make trips to the hospital and stuff this week, and, you know, just use this until your pickup's done. And, but that wasn't because it was me. That's how he treated everybody. And we'll forever miss Dave.
Yeah. He was an awesome, awesome guy. Such a mentor, too. Was he the one that made the comment about how you can appreciate how cold it is if you wear pantyhose? And what was it? You have a shirt on.
Not long after. Yeah, after I got married, we were living in the country, and my wife was actually working for Governor Hovind. And car starters were kind of new to me, at least. And I was thinking, I don't remember if it was for Christmas or for our wedding anniversary, but I was thinking, like, wow, this would be a nice gift. But I didn't know if they work, you know. And somehow I found out he had one. So I inquired, like, you know, what do you think of this for a Christmas gift? And he said, well, if you're not sure, on some morning when it's pretty cold, just throw on a dress and go out and start your vehicle and see what if you think it's good.
Oh, that's so funny. I think it was a dress and pantyhose.
Random. No pantyhose.
I distinctly remember pantyhose.
That was the kind of thing you got from David.
Yep. Oh, man. What I appreciated, his sense of humor was awesome, and he first came in touch with him a lot when I was state director for Hovind, and he was state director for Mark Andrews. And he looked at me and, you know, you're kind of disheveled in that job all the time because you're just running from one place to the next. And he looked at me, he said, that's the best job you'll be glad to have had. And he was very right. So anyway, Sherry.
How do you top that? We're doing YouTube. I have to say, Randy, thank you for bringing that up, and just God bless the memory of Dave Crothers. I just want to touch on one thing. On Monday's event, you guys, both Julie and Randy, have touched on it, but what I found very impressive were the workers that were there and the value that they brought, but the value that they have with the sale, that in that community, that those jobs are kept and that community is kept alive, and they really demonstrated their thankfulness for that in being there. And I'm glad that they were recognized, what they bring to that plant and the value those workers have. So I just want to acknowledge that. I'm glad to see that that sale is done and moving forward. So that's
excellent. All right, moving towards our agenda, we have a few items on consent, and I think we have some previous minutes. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right, on to the regular agenda. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Montana Dakota Utilities 12-inch water pipeline, Morton County siting application case number PU-22-34.
Second.
On January 18th, MDU filed the application for a route permit and corridor compatibility certificate for the location of a approximately 2,600-foot 12-inch water pipeline in Morton County. On February 23rd, the commission deemed the application complete and issued a notice for a public hearing to be held on April 5th. On April 5th, we held that hearing as scheduled and allowed interested parties to present testimony in person. So the purpose of this project is to transport water from the city of Mandan and their 30-inch diameter municipal water pipeline to MDU's Heskett Station for the purpose of fire suppression and evaporative cooling. The proposed facility corridor and pipeline route is identified in the filings as hearing exhibit number 6. The commission has authority for water pipelines if they are used to support a generation facility. So that's why we were citing this water pipeline. So the project will be 12-inch diameter, high-density polyethylene. In order to make the connection to the city of Mandan's 30-inch diameter municipal water pipeline, a 12-inch diameter ductile iron pipe will be used, and an 18-inch diameter steel casing will be used in bored locations. The pipe will have a maximum operating pressure of 144 pounds per square inch and a maximum operating temperature of 80 degrees. The project will have a flow rate of up to about 1,395 gallons per minute. The only above-ground facilities for the project will be a water meter building on the south end of the pipe and a hydrant to be installed near the midpoint of the pipe. And the estimated cost of the project is $1.6 million. MDU did all the proper consultations with state and federal agencies. They conducted a Class 3 cultural resources inventory across the survey area, and the State Historic Preservation's office submitted a concurrence with the finding of no historic properties effective last September. There was one exclusion area identified, and in the survey area it was for habitat for the piping plover. That the project does not impact any of that habitat, so that is, they won't be impacting an exclusion area. In terms of avoidance areas, there are a few avoidance areas in the survey area as well, but all of those are being avoided. There is one wetland, and they are going to avoid that with horizontal drilling. They have submitted a safety and emergency plan. They have standards for monitoring and procedures to limit the spread of noxious weeds. There's no anticipated impacts to trees, shrubs, or saplings in the route. They will take appropriate measures to ensure erosion controls and practices are followed and dust control measures during construction. And they're participating in the North Dakota One Call notification system. So with that, I am comfortable that the construction, operation, and maintenance of the project will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and the welfare of North Dakota citizens. And the project is compatible with environmental preservation and efficient use of resources. And therefore, this order is ready, and I'm prepared to support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. My second item on the agenda, on February 18th, the Dakota Natural Gas filed a tariff to update its contact information, update minimum maximum customer usage for rates SCS1 and CS1, and to reduce the number of feet of service line that may be installed for a new customer with no contribution required from the new customer. The tariff revisions would not result in an increase or decrease. Did I forget to read the
motion? No. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let me back up. I jumped right ahead. I move the commission adopt the order in Dakota Natural Gas LLC miscellaneous tariff revisions tariff case number PU-22-83.
Second.
All right, so I already outlined what this is. On March 9th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until April 22nd for written comments or requests for a hearing. We did not receive any comments or requests for a hearing. On April 21st, we had an informal hearing with Dakota Natural Gas and discussed these tariff revisions. Again, it's important to note that the tariff revisions will not result in an increase or decrease in rates to North Dakota customers. And so based on the record and having received no objections, the commission finds that Dakota Natural Gas's proposed tariff revisions are reasonable and prudent, and I support them with this order today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a corridor certificate and route permit contingent on filing with the commission at least 14 days prior to the hearing date, responses to the request for information filed on April 8th of 2022, and issue a notice of filing public hearing in Continental Resources Incorporated 8-inch natural gas Buddy Domingo pipeline, Williams County siting application case number PU-22-141.
Second.
I can't think about that name too much or I will get the giggles. A public hearing on this case is scheduled to begin June 6th at 9 a.m. at Williston City Hall, John Kautzman Chamber Room, 22 East Broadway, Williston. On March 3rd, Continental Resource filed an application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for the location of approximately 3.1 miles of 8-inch natural gas pipeline in Williams County. The pipeline will transport natural gas from an existing transmission pipeline to an existing oil well for an enhanced oil recovery pilot program. This is the first time we've seen this kind of a project. So despite the fact that it's a relatively short project, we thought it was important for the commission itself to go up there and learn more about this and talk to the company about it directly. They are taking refined natural gas, so it's like ready for use natural gas, and using it for enhanced oil recovery. So it is the first of its kind project in North Dakota, as far as I understand, in talking with Ron Ness. And I think they received a grant from the Industrial Commission in order to support this project. So we'll be having a discussion with the company on June 6th in Williston about this project, and we'll learn more about it then.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to clarify, that, so this will go on scheduling then, because I don't think it's on our calendar yet. So.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because the date and time is already announced.
And then, so just to further emphasize your point, when you think of the amount of flaring and the, you know, it's not just that they choose to flare, but it's hard to get that gas somewhere to process it and get it to where it's needed. But when you think of what this project could open up, this is an exciting new project, and I'm anxious to be at the hearing in June and learn more about it and talk to these folks, and it could be kind of a game changer in mm-hmm. Northwest North Dakota.
Yeah, although this isn't flare gas. This is gas from WBI. It's already processed gas. So I don't know if there's a distinction in the qualities of it.
That's one of my questions.
But it is curious to me that it's cost effective to, you know, actually pay for commercial grade gas and use it for enhanced oil recovery.
Yeah, and that is one of the intriguing things about this, to learn what potential this project has.
Yeah, to use the raw gas from the well sites. Yeah, will be interesting. Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission deem complete the application to amend certificate of quarter number 209 and route permit 219 contingent upon receiving responses to the April 22nd, 2022 request for information by May 18th, 2022 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC amendment for certificate number 209, permit number 219, citing application case number PU-22-164.
Second.
So on April 6th of 2022, One Oak Bakken Pipeline filed a combined application to amend their certificate number 209 and route permit 219 for the addition of a pump station housing three pumps to its existing Demix Lake NGL pipeline. The station will be located in McKenzie County, North Dakota, and will consist of three 5,000 horsepower driven pumps. With the addition of the station, the total pipeline throughput is estimated to be 300,000 barrels of natural gas liquids per day. Future additional plants and connections could bring the total pipeline throughput to a maximum design capacity of 400,000 barrels per day. The capacity today is about 250,000 barrels per day. So basically, One Oak is seeking to add some pumps to its existing facility to increase the throughput of the line. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by June 3rd of 2022, and if we deem it appropriate, we can determine this matter and allow the addition of the pumps without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission deem the application for amendment complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company Border Winds Energy Project, Rowlett County, citing application case number PU-22-173.
Second.
So with this application, NSP is proposing to amend its existing site certificate for Border Winds to increase the total authorized project generating capacity from 150 megawatts to 165 megawatts in order to repower the existing 2-megawatt wind turbines with 2.2-megawatt wind turbines. So comments and requests for hearing on this matter must be received by June 8th, and if deemed appropriate, the commission can also determine this matter without a hearing. So basically, we're seeing another repowering project. I would estimate that we'll at minimum have an informal hearing with the company to talk through this, but they're just upgrading from 2-megawatt turbines to 2.2-megawatt turbines, and then the increase generating a capacity would grow by 15 megawatts as a result.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, that concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for comment in Cable One VoIP LLC, designated eligible carrier, relinquish application case number PU-22-162.
Second.
And I still have my old notes from before the error got corrected. Can't remember the date. Okay, so recently. Cable One filed an application requesting relinquishment of designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier. Cable One was designated as a lifeline-only ETC for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support and for receiving Rural Digital Opportunity Phase One funding. That's what we usually refer to as RDOF. Under federal law, prior to permitting an ETC to cease providing universal service in an area, the State Commission shall require the remaining carriers to ensure that all customers served by the relinquishing carrier will continue to be served by a remaining ETC. Probably not much of an issue in this case because Cable One has indicated that they have no subscribers in North Dakota. However, we will receive written comments on the proceeding until close of business June 6th, and just to confirm that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion is approved.
And I move the commission submit the 2022 to 2025 North Dakota Abandoned Mine Land Simplified Grant Application to the Office of Surface Mining to request $2,829,000 in federal funds and Public Service Commission 2022 to 2025 AML Simplified Grant Application case number AM-22-181.
Second.
So I kind of the first thing I just want to be clear, these are 3-year grants, but you redo it kind of each year, and you don't have to spend the money all in the year that you get it. And so we kind of traditionally carry around a year's finances over, especially we used to because the program was set to end last year, but now it's been extended. But so we're always kind of off on our years, but anyway, OSM has allocated us $2,829,000 for the next AML grant period. It actually began March 1st of this year. The grant will be used to eliminate hazardous underground and abandoned surface and abandoned surface and underground coal mines in western North Dakota. Our AML division estimates approximately $2.16 million will be spent for projects at abandoned coal mines this year. Some of those funds will be used also for the in-house design of the reclamation projects and for administering the program. So the contract funding for this year's projects come from this 2022 to 25 grant and also from funds remaining from previous grants. I will just point out the one thing about all this is it always amazes me when in the title of something like this is the word simplified grant application. I would hate to imagine what the unsimplified would look like.
It's like the simplified tax form.
Yeah.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Randy. The same person that simplified that grant wrote the directions for how to fill your water bottle in Canada. There was 6 points to it. All right, Sherry, you're up.
Okay, I move the commission adopt the order in Northern Plains Power Company Electric Franchise Fee Modification Tariff Case Number PU22-47.
Second.
On January 27th, Northern Plains Power Company filed an application for revision to its city fee rider tariff to incorporate the changes approved by the cities of Grand Forks and Fargo, providing for a franchise fee discount to large users of electricity and to improve the readability of the tariff. The tariff revisions would not result in an increase or decrease in rates to North Dakota customers. On February 23rd, the PSC issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until April 9th, 2022 for written comments. No response or requests for hearing were received. And based on that, I move that we adopt the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
All right. And we will, bear with me a moment. Let me get out our schedule here. So tomorrow we head to Watford City for a pipeline hearing for Bridger Pipeline 16-inch crude oil pipeline. That's a pretty substantial line, 80 miles long. That hearing will be held in Teddy's residential suites. Next Tuesday, I think both Randy and I will be speaking to the Energy Development Transmission Committee. They want to hear about coal reclamation, and then they also want to hear about MISO and SPP. So there's a lot of things we could talk about there. I have to narrow down our focus a bit. And then next Wednesday, we have our annual meeting with the railroads and the state railroad stakeholders, so that will include updates from the Class 1 railroads. Both BNSF and Canadian Pacific will be here and giving an update on their investments in North Dakota moving forward into this next season. And then we'll have an opportunity to discuss with any of the elevators, any of the commodity groups, any service issues, of which I think there are some to discuss this year, and then also any safety issues with the cities, counties, anybody else that has concerns with the railroads. So it's a once a year kind of broad discussion we have with the railroads and their stakeholders. That's next Wednesday at 1:30 in this room. And then later this month, we have a hearing on the rulemaking for our integrated resource plans and cybersecurity rules. And then the hearing for NSB is still on the schedule, but I saw a bunch of changes come through. Is that just a formality? A bunch of things came through while I was gone, changing that. Okay, all right. I couldn't tell for sure, so. So we'll be having a hearing in early June on the NSB natural gas rate increase request. So with that, we will adjourn for questions from the media.